It's one thing to listen to doom and gloom about food and fertilizer shortages, skyrocketing prices, the cost of living, or your job being outsourced overseas or eliminated due to automation. It's quite another thing to hear practical, immediately actionable advice from experts who can help you reduce the fear, anxiety, and burden of these problems.
Tune in now to the Surviving Hard Times podcast from the Finding Genius Foundation with Richard Jacobs. Before we begin, a note from our sponsor. I'm Richard Jacobs, Executive Director of the nonprofit Finding Genius Foundation and host of the Finding Genius podcast. In late 2016, I was rear-ended at 65 miles an hour by a truck on the highway, which sent me off-road into a ditch. The impact of the collision gave me a concussion and other injuries. At the hospital, a CT scan showed that I had thyroid nodules, which turned out to be cancer. It was then, when I had a biopsy in my neck, that I realized even if I was a millionaire, I wouldn't want a second or a third biopsy due to the pain and the invasiveness of it. And appointments at that time for thyroid experts were 3 to 6 months out, and I was worried about dying now, even if that was irrational. So because of this, I've decided to raise money to conduct a literature review on steroids, on the causes of anxiety and depression, a condition that affects well over 50 million people in the United States and hundreds of millions worldwide. Our goal is to create a codex, a guide, that reveals all possible treatments for anxiety and depression for people that live with the condition, or for loved ones that have it, as my wife and my son do. To find out more about our fundraiser, visit findinggeniusfoundation.org and click on Current Initiatives. And now, to our guest. Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Surviving Hard Times podcast, sponsored by the Finding Genius Foundation.
I have Katie from goodpatriot.com. Her website is goodpatriot.com. She also has a YouTube channel called Good Patriot. And so we're going to talk about prepping and what she learned about survival. So, Katie, thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Would you mind telling me a bit of background about yourself? Have you always been thinking this way, or, you know, were you doing other stuff and something changed your mind?
Both, actually. I grew up in California, basically from a young kid. I was, you know, we always had the threat of the big earthquake coming. So we've always had that prepping mindset, you know, needed at that time, you know, it's like, okay, have 3 weeks to a week of food. You know, make sure your cabinets are locked so glasses don't fall out, like just little things like that. So it was always kind of ingrained in me in a servicey kind of way because of that big earthquake threat. But, you know, as you know, obviously times have changed in the last few years, we get a lot going on that could present a more serious threat. And my husband and I have been prepping for just different scenarios for the last 10 years, not hardcore, but like, you know, just having maybe a month of food and water, or, you know, we live in a broken world. It's the reality that bad things can happen. But in the last 2 years, you know, we've seen what's coming down the road and got a lot more serious about it. And so my videos went from talking about the Second Amendment and things like that to mainly prepping videos for the last 2 years. And here we are.
Yeah, but isn't the world about to get so much better? I mean, why prep now? I'm just kidding.
Yes, the evidence does suggest that this is just a gully. Yeah.
So tell me, like, what have you experienced that the common person thinks prepping is versus you that actually does it? You know, where's the misinformation, but where's, the urban legends around prepping that are not true? What do you run into?
Oh, I think what I see most commonly is just people that think that it's never going to get that bad here in the United States. So they just kind of have an apathetic attitude towards it. And they think, oh, you know, if it gets that bad, I'll run to the local grocery store and buy a bunch of food, you know, or a couple cases of water. I'll go to Costco and stock up on some things. You know, I don't think they, which is, I mean, strange to me, especially here in Texas. I mean, a year and a half ago, we had a big freeze where basically people were without electricity and a lot of people were without water for 6 full days.
I was here. I experienced it.
Yeah. And I kind of sometimes look around at my friends who are still apathetic and think nothing bad can happen and haven't done anything after that, and kind of shake my head like, guys, that was nothing. That was just 6 days. You know, what happens if it's 3 weeks? What happens if it's 3 weeks in the middle of summer? You know, I don't know where you are in Texas, but
Austin area.
Okay, yeah, I'm south of you, but you know, we've had 6 straight weeks of average about 100 degrees here. You know, that can be pretty brutal. So if you don't have electricity or something to keep you cool, or you know, that can get real nasty real fast, especially for people that aren't healthy. So definitely just apathy, just still in denial of things that are going to get that bad. Even if they hear it, it's like they just don't absorb it. You know, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make them drink. So I've just kind of let go of trying to convince people. And you know, my husband and I are pretty outspoken now. If people make comments, even in jest or half-heartedly in jest, about, well, we'll just come to your house if things get bad, you know, we're pretty quick and firm in a nice way to tell them, you know, that's really not an option. And if it is, like, be prepared to work hard or pay hard, you know, because we've made a lot of sacrifices to prepare our household, and we don't appreciate people thinking that they can come in, you know, without consequence, or not consequence, like I want to punish them, but you know, if the Bible even says, like, if you don't work, you don't eat, you know, so you're gonna do something to earn that provision, if we even have it for you, because it's not like we're so stocked that we can feed, you know, our whole network of friends for months on end. I mean, we're not even close to that. So,
well, so, all right. So for people that haven't done anything, but do want to dip their toe in, at least, if they just do one thing for a start, what should it be? Is there any one thing, again, it's like the lowest, easiest level of preparing?
I always tell people, just make it your first goal to get 3 months worth of food and water in your house. You know, I think that, and if you're gonna, most of that food is going to be frozen food, you need to have a generator or something that can power that electricity, you know, to keep that food from spoiling. You know, if 3 months is overwhelming, okay, go to 3 weeks, just start with 3 weeks, you know, and that's a good place to start. That's pretty easy. You know, I'm not saying financially, if you're financially strapped, but just, it's pretty easy to have, you know, 8 cases of water in your closet or under your bed or in a shed or whatnot, or it's easy to buy a water filter, or, you know, just buy some extra cans of soup every time you go to the grocery store. You may not be eating 3 meals a day at that point, but at least you're not going to be starving.
Okay. So you could build up a little bit by a little bit, but do something. So start.
Yeah.
Even if someone gets 1 week of water and 1 week of food, it's better than nothing.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, most people, unfortunately, my guess is probably like 90% of people do not have more food for like 3 days in their house. Mm. So, you know, yeah, even like a full week of food would be great. You know, after 3 days, people are going to be panicking when reality sets in. They're going to get very desperate. You know, you want to make sure that you don't have to run to the grocery store after 3 days of chaos or no electricity, or, you know, you don't want to be fighting for your spot in line at the grocery store to grab whatever's left. And whatever's left, if we don't have that supply chain coming in, is going to be decimated just after a few days. I don't think people realize that grocery stores get deliveries like every single day. You know, it's not just once a week, or, I mean, they're constantly stocking.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that. So in terms of what to stock, I don't know if people have any idea, but what are some recommendations of things that are easy to store that will last for a while?
Like I mentioned, canned food, you know, and get canned food that you actually eat. If you, you know, are okay with tuna salad, get lots of tuna. You know, that's great protein. If you don't buy soup that you don't, you know, I don't like lentils, you know, buy a case of lentil soup. You know, buy things that if for some reason nothing happens in the next year or two, you're not going to get stuck having to donate that or throw it away because it's not something that you want to eat normally. You know, a lot of people say rice and beans. We don't eat a lot of rice and beans, and so that's not something we'd get, but we do eat, you know, like dried pineapple or dried fruit, or, you know, we're blessed to have a freeze dryer, so we do a lot of freeze drying food. But stuff that I just buy, gosh, I mean, sugar, you know, just the basics, like, gosh, I wish I could open my pantry right now. But yeah, so like canned chili is more appealing to me than a lentil soup. So if that appeals to you, get it, or just, you know, check the expiration, like canned sardines and last years, and they're so nutritious for you.
Okay. So not only get stuff that will last, but get stuff you'll actually want to eat, not be like, I would only eat this if I was starving to death type thing.
Right, right. And if you are going to go the, you know, bulk rice and beans route, you know, make sure you store that properly, because a lot of people don't realize rice has different oils and moisture in it that can expire rather quickly. You know, so if that's going to go bad within a year, you make sure that you properly store it so it can last at least a few years and not go rancid.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So have you interacted with other people that that prep, and, you know, are there different schools of thought, or, you know, most preppers kind of hone in on the same set of principles? Like, what have you observed in the community that you're in?
We definitely have a good network of like-minded people here. I think the foundations are the same. If everyone knows they need, you know, a generator, at least one kind of generator, food and water, and the basics, you know, what the emergency is going to be, or how it's going to come about and who's behind it. You know, there's differences there that don't really matter, but, you know, you'll get people that are thinking it's all political. It's Republican versus Democrat. And if we just get our guy in, everything will be fine. And then there are people, you know, kind of more like me, where it's like, this isn't really a political thing. This is a lot bigger. This is global and kind of like more of a good versus evil thing. And, you know, politicians are just, you know, low-level puppets doing the bidding of people. But
it's interesting you say that. I know it's an aside, but I've heard from actually a lot of people I know, whether they're religious or not, that they've used the same words, that what's going on appears to be literally demonic. I know maybe it's taking it in a weird direction, but it's just strange for me to literally hear that same thing from a whole bunch of people that I know that, again, some religious, some not, but for them all to use the same word is strange.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I definitely believe that there are demonic forces behind the bad things happening in the world. You know, that is definitely another route to take this interview down. There's so much there, but, you know, even biblically speaking, like the Bible talks about what the end times are going to look like. And a lot of things are lining up with that. And a lot of people that haven't studied that part of the Bible can say, oh, well, people always think that. In every generation, people think this is the end of the world and blah, 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 blah. But there are actually things happening that couldn't have happened before, and they're happening now. And so from a spiritual perspective, you know, I do kind of study that stuff because I want to know what's coming. And so far, everything is lining up. So that is another reason to prepare, just so, you know, I always tell people, like, my main goal and my main goal for other people is that I want to keep you out of a FEMA camp. I don't want you to have to be dependent on the government in order to survive. So that means that you need to have some sort of independence with your food and water and basic needs to avoid doing that. You know, so that, I mean, that's a big thing. And I understand why so many people are kind of averse to it, because I think, one, it's overwhelming to think about having to do that. That's so much work, and a lot of it is not financially possible for people, and they're not really mentally in the place to be able to think, well, that means I'm going to have to share a property, not have my own 10 acres and my own homestead. But maybe you get three families that you trust and love and know very well, and you guys buy property together and kind of like work towards that goal together. You know, and also I think on the other hand, people don't want to believe this is happening because just emotionally, spiritually, mentally, they can't handle, you know, the loss of normal life. And so they want to pretend that it's not going to happen and put their heads in the ground. And unfortunately, I think that's just a very dangerous thought to have when we have so much evidence around us that globally there is some sort of group, you know, that wants to change the global system, and they're very vocal about it.
Have you been able to make an estimate, like, for someone to prep the different levels, let's say 1 week's worth of food and water versus 3 months versus more, you know, the cost, and like a list of all the things that would go into it, so people don't realize, oh, I forgot that. I didn't realize I needed that kind of thing.
Well, I've made a list, like kind of a master prep list, of kind of, you know, maybe there's like 75 things on there that people should consider getting, but everyone's situation is so unique, so relative that, you know, to, I mean, because one family could have four teenage boys and one family could just be a husband and wife or a single mom, or, you know, some people eat special diets or organic and some people live on junk food. I mean, that there's a huge financial difference in both of those scenarios. So I always tell people, like, I couldn't even begin to estimate what it would cost for your particular situation. But there's, you know, YouTube and on the internet, there's tons of lists out there that can just get you started with ideas. I like to tell people, go through every room in your house, like, you know, go in your bathroom, open up your cabinets, your pantry or whatever, and look at what you have in there. So go in my bathroom, open up the cabinet. I've got shampoo, soap, lotion, you know, hair conditioner, razors. Okay, so I'm going to start by making a list of all those things that I use every week. And I'm going to go, you know, if I can afford it and buy it all at once, wonderful. If not, okay, so this week I'm going to buy two extra shampoos. You know, next week I'm going to buy two extra body lotions and things that you're going to need, you know, just for hygiene and everything as well. Deodorant, first aid, just Band-Aids, a little rubbing alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, like, you know, things like that. And so just do that for each room. So now you have your own personal tailored list. Okay, I know that I need, or, you know, a prescription medication or a special supplement. I'm going to get extra of that, you know, and kind of break it down for you and your personal needs.
Do you have a list of you think everything that would be needed for a household, or is it going to be, you know, people have to kind of figure that out by thinking through, let's say, each room of their house, or, you know, what they would need in a day? Like, how do you recommend people go about this easily?
Yeah, well, I have a list to start. I posted it on social media. I don't really have that listed on my website right now because there's not really a page for it. But you can go to my Instagram and I have two prepping highlights that have a ton of prepping information. You can go through there and I have that posted, those lists posted. Otherwise, I would just do kind of like a basic internet search and, you know, okay, list of prepping items. And I'm sure hundreds of articles will come up and you can kind of go through a couple and see what ones look, you know, right for your situation. And just maybe pick the top five that you think are most important in your situation and start there and just work your way outward. I mean, prepping is definitely not like a one weekend deal. It takes weeks, months, if not years. You know, and that being said, it's hard not to get overwhelmed, but just remember, you can't prep for everything. You just have to do with your best with what you have. But if you are going to have to make sacrifices, now's the time. Now's the time to do that, because right now everything is relatively normal. We can still go to the grocery store. We can still go to Costco and Sam's Club and whatnot and get what we need. Pricing is higher, yes, but like still relatively normal. You don't want to wait. You know, you want to kind of get your top five things done as soon as possible while you can, and not really. I just think, I don't know. I think stuff's going to get pretty nasty in the coming year. So I would just start as soon as possible.
Yeah. What's your forecast of, you know, for the next, I guess through the end of this year and then through, you know, maybe through winter, what do you think is going to happen and when? What's your guess?
I think here in the United States, pricing is going to go up, up, and up. I think because we had the food supply stuff, I mean, we know what happened during the pandemic with like the port closures and everything being backed up. But, you know, a couple months ago, around the time Ukraine started and everything, you know, countries stopped exporting their wheat. You know, we had weather situations where farmers couldn't grow things. It was either too hot or too cold. And that's happening right now too, even here in the United States. We had, you know, we've had over 90 food production plants, whether it be food or animals, spontaneous, you know, just burned down coincidentally. So basically food supply issues I see kind of starting to come to a head during the fall in the next few months. I think that's when things are going to start hitting. It will hit us financially first, but it's going to hit other parts of the world physically at that time. You know, Eastern Europe, Africa, all these countries that rely on an import of basic things like corn and wheat are going to start seeing that, you know, these people around the world, they don't have the extra income to stock up. You know, they they go to the store daily and buy, you know, bread and this and that, or, you know, people in Africa, they are, well, I don't want to say used to going to the store and buy, being able to buy a bag of corn, but you're going to see millions and millions of people that may be above the poverty line, but not middle class, you know, just poor people who cannot buy in bulk or stock up, not be able to feed their animals. You know, you think of a family that has like a goat for milk. They're not going to be able to feed their animals because the corn and the cost of animal feed is going to be so high that they're not going to have that daily supply of milk for them. And it's going to be kind of like a domino effect. And that's going to get really scary for other parts of the world. And so we'll see it financially with things, prices really going up, but maybe a year from now, we're going to start seeing that physically as well. You know, not only is inflation going to go crazy, but we're not going to have access to things that we're so used to getting. You know, if you think about the average small business, we'll take a bakery in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, they buy a ton of flour every week, baking bread.
That's what I've been, when I've been going around and looking at the different places that, you know, we get food from normally. Yeah. All these stores, like, what if some of the critical ingredients run out? The business will have to close down. You know, like, let's say you get a pizzeria or like,
yes,
yeah, bakery or something. What are they going to do?
You know? Right. Nobody wants to pay $30 for a pizza. And that's what they're going to have to charge to survive, because now that 50-pound bag of flour has gone from $10 to $65. Mm. So same with, you know, the cheese or whatever. Yeah, we'll take a pizzeria, for instance. You know, you think of that, and then you just think of all those businesses that need that one or two key ingredients for their products. I mean, we saw that during the shutdowns and the pandemic. I mean, I remember going in the store and I would ask the stockers that were stocking the shelves, so what are you guys seeing? What sector are you missing, you know, the most from? Is it dairy? Is it this? And they're like, we can't even give you that answer, because there are so many thousands of products that we're not getting anymore because the companies can't get that one ingredient that they said it's just everything. So take that and then times it by 100, because we're talking basic commodities like corn and wheat. You know, there's people in the United States, I mean, I'm gluten-free, but people in the United States, I think, tend to think of, well, I don't eat corn or wheat, so it doesn't matter. And it's like, no, it's going to matter, because when the people that need the corn and the wheat lose their business and no longer have income, they can't go to your business and buy your product either. It's just going to be that domino effect.
Yeah. I mean, I've asked too a few times, the store owners would say like, well, it seems to be random. You know, this is a while ago. This is probably like a year ago. There were weird things that would be gone all of a sudden. Like, they had no sugar packets for a week, and then they had no ketchup, and then they had no this, and, but right, things still coming through. But this may be different. It may be like, you know, we're not getting XYZ and it's just not coming anymore. We can't get it.
Yeah. I mean, think of cars. They can't get a chip. So,
yeah.
I mean, the price of cars, I mean, even now, even used cars. I mean, it's just, it's nuts, but this is just the beginning. These are just tiny inconveniences compared to what it's going to look like in the next year or two.
So again, for people to start preparing, again, identify what products they commonly use and stock up on them at least slowly, but start doing it now. Mm-hmm. That seems advice. Any other lessons you learned from prepping that, you overdid this, or you didn't think about that and you forgot to add it in? And, you know, like, what are some of the big lessons you've learned from doing this?
Well, fortunately, I learned those lessons early on. You know, 10 years ago, I remember my husband and I went to Costco and we bought, you know, a case of strawberry jam and a case of these brown rice bowls and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we don't eat strawberry jam very often. It went bad. We had to throw it away. And so I just learned, like, okay, if I don't normally eat something, like I said before, I'm not going to buy 50 pounds of it. So again, you know, just get the things you normally eat in the best long-term way possible.
Maybe think about any stories surrounding prepping that you remember, either good or bad, but that were instructional to you? You know, any experience you heard about and that are instructional?
Well, I would get kind of like with the go through your pantry and the rooms in your house situation, I would kind of like take each item, say, okay, now I've got a freezer full of food. I feel good about that. Now I'd go through the line of questioning of, okay, so what happens if this freezer doesn't work anymore? Do I have a backup plan for that? What happens if my electricity goes out? What do I do? Do I have a generator? And then if I have a generator, what does this generator need? It needs gas or propane or solar. Do I know how to use it? Like, I would advise using this equipment before you actually have to use it. You know, right now, my husband and I invested in a solar generator. We're using it to power our little toaster oven and this and that. And we're like practicing. So if the time comes, we're in an emergency and we're in a stressful situation and have to get things set up quickly, we already know how to use things and know what they're going to power, what they're not. I mean, we found out, you know, we've got this big solar panel that comes with the solar generator and it's supposed to give us 400 watts. Well, the thing's only giving us like 260 watts at most. So that, you don't want to find things out like that during the emergency. You want to kind of practice and get that knowledge in your mind beforehand so you can kind of troubleshoot and make sure that you know what you're doing. Some friends of mine gave a great piece of advice. It's uncomfortable, but I think it would be an awesome exercise, is shut off the electricity in your house for a day or two and see how you do. You know, go to the breaker, shut everything down, and just see, okay, what's it like to have no light for 36 hours? You know, are we emotionally, I mean, I like light. Like, I do not like to be in the dark for a long time. So I know that I want a lot of lanterns around. I want those flashlights and everything, because emotionally that makes me feel better. You know, find out like the little things by kind of putting yourself to the test now, so you can see where your weaknesses are and where your strengths are, and then make the adjustments needed.
Yeah, well, like we talked about earlier, a year and a half ago, you and I were both in Texas, and you know, we ended up going to a hotel for a week. And my daughter's boyfriend and his mother, we took them with us because otherwise they, you know, might have frozen to death, literally. You know, I think, you know, it was like, I don't know if listeners know, but it was 10 degrees for like a solid week here and in a lot of parts of Texas.
Yeah,
so it's not like it was like summer with no power. It was like, you're going to die if you don't get some heat type of situation. Right. It was really bad, you know? And a lot of the stores were closed, and there was gigantic lines for the stores that were open, you know, a few of them, and there wasn't much food around for a few days. So it was bad. It was very bad.
Yeah.
But that's a good idea, is to kind of test things out and have a little bit of hardship now, just to see how things would happen. And, you know, do your flashlights work? Does your generator work? Is the food okay, et cetera? So I guess that's really good advice for people.
Yeah, I know. Definitely uncomfortable, especially, I mean, if you don't want to go extra uncomfortable, wait for a day that's not blazing hot or super cold. But yeah, shut it down for a day and just see what happens. See, yeah, like I said, if your generator works for your freezer, or, you know, do you have stuff to do? I mean, because what if your phone does it? Or shut your phone down and see how you do. You know, even just like emotionally, can you communicate with the people you need to communicate with if you don't have access to your phone's service? You know, that's a big one too. I recommend, you know, writing down on, or typing out on a piece of paper, emergency numbers or addresses, and know how to get there without being able to pull up Google Maps. You know, that's an important thing too.
What comes to mind too is, like, you know, in our property, we have one gate that, you know, we use a clicker to open. But when the ice storms and all that stuff happened, the power went out, the gate not only wouldn't open, but it was frozen shut.
Yeah.
And then my wife was like, oh my God, you know, we can't even drive out of here. What the hell are we going to do?
Right.
You know? So yeah. We didn't know until, you know, this happened. But, you know, it made me think of people with, where everything in their house is, let's say it's Nest or it's electronic.
Yeah.
You know, their car, et cetera. What if those things don't work? How do you do basic stuff? How do you open doors? What if you're literally trapped inside your house or your apartment, or trapped somewhere because you don't have, you know, the electronics are not working.
Right. Or the roads are frozen or blocked off, or, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, your plan of, oh, we can't go to Katie's house or my brother's house or whatnot across town becomes, you know, a lot more serious. You gotta know, you gotta have that plan and kind of think through those scenarios. Question, okay, if this is the plan, but what if I can't use this road? This is a plan. Do I know how to get there? Like, if you have out-of-state family that are going to come to your property or vice versa, you know, I would print out those directions now or get, you know, an atlas or a map or be prepared to take alternative routes and run into hiccups and, you know, remember to protect yourself too, because after a few days, like I said, people are going to get pretty desperate. They're going to be hungry and thirsty and stressed and scared. And a lot of people are going to do things they normally wouldn't do in order to feed themselves or their families. So you got to remember that too. I feel like this is such a bummer interview.
I'm sorry. I mean, but you know, I'm trying to get the good things out of it. Like,
No. So. I mean, it's just a grim thing to talk about, but it's something that needs to be talked about. It's not on you. I just mean, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't have any jokes.
Emotionally prepped or prepared to talk about stuff. I'm just, maybe this would be a good idea too, is to speak to a few other families, maybe just like even one other, and say, hey, if things get real bad, you know, we're going to work together. You stock this, I stock that, or whatever. Or maybe, you know, like, again, what if you speak to, again, one, two, or maybe at most three local families, and, you know, the ones that are on the same page as you. And again, you kind of plan together so that if things go bad, you can at least help each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Power in numbers. I mean, you can get so much more done when you work together as a team. Just make sure you trust people. I definitely highly recommend linking up with people that are local to you. You know, your best friend may live across town, but it's actually better to know a trusted neighbor and link with them, because most likely you're not going to be able to, you know, even in practice, like, I'll give you an example. We raised some meat chickens with some friends, and one of the families lived 20 minutes away. It was so much harder for them to help out and be a part of the project than those of us who lived really near to each other. So you got to think about those things. If you're going to share a garden or share a freeze dryer or do a project together, you know, you do want to be in close proximity, because it's just not feasible to, I mean, I remember in California, we planted a garden at my mom's house, which was like 25 minutes away, with all these great intentions, put a ton of money into it. And I'm like, oh yeah, sure, I'll be there twice a week to tend to that garden. And I mean, you can't garden and not check on that garden every day. you'll get a couple caterpillars, your garden's gone in 2 days. So, you know, it just didn't work out. And I learned then, okay, if I've had people recently say, oh, if, you know, you can plant on my property, because I don't have a ton of property and we rent, so we're kind of limited in what we can do. But I already know, you know, I just say, no, thank you, I appreciate that, but I cannot drive 25 minutes a day to your property to check on that garden every day. And I just know I can't. So you got to know your limits and what's realistic. But I mean, lesson learned, you know, a lot of times we learn the hard way. That's why it's good to start the sooner the better. So you can kind of learn those lessons while things are normal. And then that way, when things get really bad, you'll be a lot more skilled and prepared for hiccups.
Well, very good. Let's restate the name of your channel and all the different resources you have for people. So, you know, please go ahead. Where can people find out more about your work? Where can they go?
Yeah, I'm on most social media under Good Patriot. If you want to find out everything I'm on the Warrior Poet Society Network and all that, I have direct links on every page of my website on the bottom of the page. You can go there, and I think there's like 8 or 10 links there. My website is goodpatriot.com, and you can pretty much find all you need to there. YouTube is great too.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, again, Katie, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. Thanks, Richard.
Before you stop listening, ask yourself, what are one or two useful things you heard on this podcast that can help you overcome food and fertilizer shortages, skyrocketing prices, the cost of living, or your job being outsourced overseas or eliminated due to automation? Please like and subscribe and tell your friends and family about their Surviving Hard Times podcast. We're all going to need help now and in the near future.